Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We welcome you on this Monday morning. Delighted to have you join with us on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you right off that you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That number gets you straight through to the studio and right to our microphone so we can have dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about a very important issue today. In just a moment, we'll be discussing the topic, heresies in the church. Heresies in the church, of all places. You wouldn't think that, would you? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement when he says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. What does the Word of God say? We measure what we say based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the dialogue and discussion today, we have a wonderful seminar this Friday evening and Saturday, Walk Through the Bible. Dr. Neil Phelps, one of the professors in Conservative Theological University, will be presenting the seminar. It's open to the general public, of course, through the college and university, Conservative Theological University. Some of our students will be participating for college university credits, but you are welcome. The doors are open. There's a small fee. $99 is the cost, but for that $99, you get the lecture on Friday night and Saturday. You get the textbook and the syllabi and a light luncheon on Saturday, and it is a wonderful, wonderful investment because Dr. Phelps will be teaching through the Scripture from Genesis through Revelation with a cursory overview of redemption throughout the Scripture. Walk through the Bible. I challenge you, if you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or your deacon, if you're a pastor, associate pastor, involved in any way in ministry, or if you simply are saved and you want to know the Word of God better, I would recommend this seminar. You can call 262-8275, 262-8275. Leave your contact information, name, telephone number, and have someone can reach you by telephone or email. Let someone get back in touch with you to get you registered before the seminar, or you can just simply get here on Friday afternoon. Seminar starts at 6:30, arrive about 6 o'clock, and do at-the-door enrollment registration for the seminar. I cannot emphasize too much the importance of this seminar. For every Christian to be able to rightly divide the word of truth is what God would have us to do as Christians. This is a wonderful opportunity for you and the general public, our listening audience. We invite you to come participate Friday afternoon at 6:30. It's Conservative Theological University right here on the campus at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We're located 1 mile south of I-295. Wonderful opportunity for you to get to know the Word of God better. I would encourage you and challenge you to avail yourselves to that even now. You can call 262-8275. Or you can simply go online to info, that's I-N-F-O, info@conservative.edu. Leave your contact information for someone to get back with you and get you registered for this wonderful opportunity to study the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are concern today, and I don't know if you've noticed it or not, in some of your listening and rolling the dial to some of the preaching and the teaching, and perhaps you've traveled distances to hear some of these high-profile preachers in America with some of the things that they're teaching and preaching and saying. But as we listen to the variety of voices being heard over the public landscape in America concerning biblical, theological, doctrinal truth, we do know that the Bible warns that in the last days we will be plagued with false teachers, those that will arise and claim to be Christ, those that will claim to have the answer that no one else has found, those that say that they know the truth and everyone else is absolutely blinded to the truth. In fact, let me just share with you, before we get into the meat of what we're saying, I believe we need to set a premise, a foundation of what the Word of God says. And in the Word of God, in Matthew 24 and verse 24, Jesus says, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that shall deceive the very elect." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself said that in the last days there will be false teachers, false Christ, and false prophets. And then in the text in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, "Now the Spirit," that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, "speaketh expressly that in the latter times," that's the days we're living in today, "some shall depart from the faith, giving heed," that is giving attention to, devotion to, "seducing spirits," that is talking about evil supernatural spirits, "and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, saying, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron." Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is expressly clear in the New Testament. You find also, and I'm just reading you little smatterings of text in relationship to it, but throughout the Old Testament too, there's a warning, especially in the Jeremiah text, about false prophets and what they'll say. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 and following, the scripture is very, very clear of what Jeremiah is saying. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak of visions of their own heart." Notice visions coming out of their own heart. "And not out of the mouth of the Lord." And then in verse 21, God says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." It is very, very important for us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a nation today, a globe today, in these last days that's filled with false prophets and false prophecies that is absolutely antithetical to the Scripture. Why is this so? We find that it is so because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the Scripture says, "For the time will come," and may I remind us, has come, "when they will not endure, put up with, listen to sound, true, healthy, solid doctrine," that is teachings, "but after their own lust," their own desires, "shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." That fables word is plastos. It literally means false words. It is myths. It is not true. It is the sounds true, looks true, but it is not true. In fact, in 2 Peter, you may ask the question, why do these false prophets teach false doctrine, false theology, and give so-called false prophecies? Why is that so? 2 Peter chapter 2 is 21 verses in the chapter. As you would understand, time will not allow even for two or three of the daily broadcast to exegete the 21 verses, but let me just read you a couple of them and set the stage for what we're going to talk about. The scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many," that's the little Greek word megas, we get our word mega, our multitudes, "and many will follow there, that is the false teachers, pernicious, that means shameful, immoral, ungodly, pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, that speaking of Christianity, shall be even spoken of, evil spoken of. And through covetousness, listen, they shall with feigned plastos, shell of the real thing, feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Literally, the false prophets, the false teachers come on the scene, and it's because people are wanting to hear some new thing. They have itching ears, as the Timothy text tells us. But the rationale and the reason from the false prophet standpoint is to exploit you, to make merchandise of you, to make financial gain from your immaturity, your lack of knowledge of the Word of God, that you're willing to follow them. But ladies and gentlemen, although we know that the Word of God, it has already warned us of these false teachers, we're yet shocked. I say this very sadly, but yet very seriously. We're shocked and we're saddened when we witness some of America's high-profile, well-received, renowned-named preachers begin to teach false theology and false doctrine. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that many, if not most, of the mainline denominations today have taken a turn for a post-Christian, a postmodern era in which they're simply appeasing the flesh, appeasing the world, when there is a downturn in the number of membership in the membership rolls of most denominations, when there's downturn to the number one seated in the pews, there's an attempt to try to irrationally come up with reasons and modify theology and modify doctrine, modify the Word of God, and modify the old-time gospel of what the Word of God says in order to get others back into the pew. Here's a good example of that. Episcopal Church to vote on God's gender. I think that's rank stupidity. I think it shows downright ignorance. I think it shows an absolute statement that is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth when you're going to somehow vote to change God's gender. But here's what the article says. It says, before the days of the early church, God has always been addressed in all of our prayers as male, including terms like Father, King, and Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus taught his disciples to pray to God using the male term. And he gives the scripture references, Luke 11:1 and following, etc., etc. One of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, and then hallowed be thy name. Now the Episcopal Church is debating how to overhaul its Book of Common Prayer, which is used throughout Episcopalian congregations on a global basis. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good indication there of a watered-down diatribe rather than the gospel message. Since when is it authoritative for man to decide that God has made a mistake and you're going to modify God's word and somehow you're going to change God's gender to something that's irrelevant, something that is abnormal, something that is unbiblical? But it shows the status of the church today. It shows the status of what's happening. You see, this should not even be a question. The Bible is clear, yet biblical minds, these bright, brilliant, biblical so-called minds of the church leaders today are questioning the Word of God. In fact, that ought not surprise us because in the recent months, in fact, in the past last 3 months or so, the Pope's come out with some very unusual, irrational statements in relationship to theological, doctrinal, biblical things. For example, the Pope said that the Bible is out of date, that it is not current with modern societal thought, therefore the Bible needs to be rewritten. The Pope has recently said that hell simply does not exist. The Pope has said that the death penalty is unbiblical. Pope has said that if you're gay, that's his words, Bible calls it sodomy, sodomite. The Pope says if you're gay, you ought not to be concerned about that being sin because God made you that way. The Pope has come up with a lot of other irrational statements that are antithetical to the Scripture in the past several months. And so I'm wondering, in fact, the thing that amazes me is how a person that says he is Roman Catholic can remain in Roman Catholicism when the key leader, it's obvious, the key leader is antithetical to anything that's called Christianity. It's an impossibility to believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and make the irrational, unbiblical statements that the Pope has so dogmatically made. Now, I understand he's made some other stupid statements also, and that is that America ought not to have borders. He said that America ought to feed the poor and give to everybody. He is a socialist out of hand, and he thinks that America ought to be that way. But may I remind us, many mainline denominations today now embrace sodomite marriages. Many mainline denominations today do not have any, how would you say, any qualms with saying that hell may or may not exist. Many mainline denominations today have started to embrace the feminist agenda that is simply coming into full circle with Marxist socialist agenda, with the social justice agenda to be preached and taught. We're finding that that is all bad enough. That is all wretched enough. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not the only problem with theological diatribe today. This is just the tip of what I call the theological sewer today in America. We now have high-profile preachers challenging the authority of the Bible. Here's an article that's titled, Mega Pastor Accused of Heresy for Attack on the Old Testament. Mega Pastor Andy Stanley caught a lot of theological flack back in May. It's just now a lot of it coming to the bubbling head, if you will. Back in May, telling his congregation it's time for them to unhitch from the Old Testament. This week, however, Dr. Albert Moeller, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, hit back in a hard fashion, comparing Andy Stanley's continuing controversial comments to an ancient heresy. And Dr. Moeller goes into the details, and I won't take time for you, our listener, to go into the minutiae of Dr. Moeller's debate and Dr. Moeller's position, and he's absolutely right. He says, we're looking at the ancient heresy of the Marcionites, that's M-A-R-C-I-O-N, which was an old historic, if you please, false teaching of 85 to 160 A.D. He lived about that time frame. He taught the Old Testament revealed a creator deity who was not even the same God as who sent Jesus. Unsurprisingly, he also held the same heretical teaching of Christology. And he taught that the Old Testament was irrelevant, et cetera, et cetera. And here is Andy Stanley now that says, and I quote, Christian faith must unhitch from the Old Testament. He claimed that Peter, James, and Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scriptures. And my friends, we must do so as well. End quote. May I remind us, Andy Stanley said, I'm convinced that we make a better case for Jesus if we leave the Old Testament or the Old Covenant out of the argument. He is absolutely demeaning the Word of God. He is absolutely trying to destroy the written, revealed Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that Andy Stanley is 100% incorrect. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Scripture is very, very clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect, and thoroughly furnished in all good works. So now here comes pompous Andy Stanley, and his philosophy is that we can just unhitch from the Old Testament. He is saying that he's smarter than God. God has given us both the Old and the New Testament, the Old and the New Covenant. God has given us all 66 books that we have canonized and called the Bible, and God has given that to us. And yet here is Andy Stanley that's decided now that somehow, some way, we don't have to adhere to the totality of the Word of God. Here's another brief statement that I believe warrants our listening to. He says, I'm convinced for the sake of this generation and the next generation, we have to rethink our apologetics of Christianity, and the less we depend on the Old Testament to prop up the New Testament faith, the better we are, because we're in a new culture. Simply put, Andy Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, is allowing the culture and the pressure of culture and the denial and the rejection of the Word of God from culture to sway his persuasion as what ought to be preached and proclaimed from the pulpit that he pastors outside of Atlanta. he has ridden too many years on the fame of his father's good name in history past, and he's built a reputation. By the way, I find it antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. He says, this is something I'm trying to desperately to help people understand. And every time I try to explain it, I get misunderstood. So here I go again, said Stanley. There was no Bible until the 4th century. When we think about the Bible, we think about a book that contains the Jewish scripture and Christian writings. And such a thing did not exist until after Christianity became legal and scholars could come out of the shadow and actually put such things together. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a stupid statement, if I might be bold enough to say so. Andy Stanley is saying, in essence, that Jesus didn't have a Bible, that the Apostle Paul did not have a Bible. When Jesus proclaimed the truth, he opened the Old Testament scrolls and preached Christ. When the Apostle Paul opened his Old Testament scrolls, he preached Christ. And may I remind us that you find the thread of redemption from Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation. This is the reason it's so important for, ladies and gentlemen, for people to understand it is the totality of the written, revealed, inspired, inerrant Word of God that counts. More to the point, Stanley insists, here's further in the article, Stanley insists that the entire Bible, listen, that the entire Bible needs to be de-emphasized as the cornerstone of the Christian faith, end quote. And I quote again, if the Bible is the foundation of your faith, here's the problem. It's all or nothing. Christianity becomes fragile, a fragile house of cards of religion, end quote. I don't know any way that I could better explain to you from what I have just shared from Andy Stanley's own words, that evidently Andy Stanley denies and rejects the Word of God. Andy Stanley simply believes that there's some other way to believe in Christianity and have Christianity to be revealed to a general populace that, according to my Bible, has already made a determination that they have tickling ears and they want to hear some new thing. Here is another statement of Andy Stanley. He put it this way. We believe that Jesus rose from the dead, not because the Bible says so. There's a better way than that. Christianity does not hang on the thread of the Bible told me so, end quote. Well, ladies and gentlemen, may I ask a very brash question. If Christianity does not hang on the thread of the Bible told me so, what in the world does Christianity hang on? Where is Christianity if it doesn't hang on the thread, as Andy Stanley calls it, of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? I'm embarrassed for him because of his sheer ignorance of the Word of God. It's either ignorance or a wanton deception to deceive those that are following him. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're in sad condition if we place our faith and confidence and trust in someone standing in a pulpit someplace, that even though there's 30,000 people in the congregation, that doesn't authenticate his authority in the Scripture if he is out of hand, said that he does not believe that the Bible in its totality is what we ought to hang Christianity on today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can agree or you can disagree. You can challenge what I've just said, or you can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Andy Stanley says the Bible is simply too hard to defend. But wait a minute, that's not all. May I remind us that Andy Stanley's approach to the Scripture is absolutely incorrect. Stanley's approach puts the post-Christian in the driver's seat. Here's why I say that. He says, and I quote, Andy Stanley says this, and let me quote it. It's sad. I stopped leveraging the authority of Scripture and began leveraging, whatever he means by that, the authority and the stories of the people behind the Scripture. To be clear, I don't believe that the Bible says, Scripture teaches, and that the Word of God commands are a correct approach, but that they are ineffective approaches for the post-Christian people of today. This is a big assumption that places Scripture under the authority of what lost people want, he says. Certainly Jesus and Paul did not find that, according to the scripture, lessened the effectiveness of God's word for pre-Christian people. And I'm not sure why we should expect God's word would be less effective for post-Christian people, unless we believe the Holy Spirit is at some great disadvantage because people are smarter than they used to be or thinking something. Stanley's approach, ladies and gentlemen, literally puts the post-Christian person, that is the illiterate Christian, so-called, or the non-Christian in the driver's seat. They're the ones doing the authority, according to Andy Stanley. They're the ones that we should follow and believe, and not the revealed word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, we have another person, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is one of the flagship preachers of modern 21st century society today. And Joel Osteen has some loosey-goosey idea of what the scripture says. He will not take a stand against homosexuality, abortion, or drugs. On one of the occasions when he was being interviewed by the Larry King Live show while it was still on the air. He was interviewed, by the way, by Larry King Live on national broadcast some five times. And Larry King, a Jewish person married to a Mormon wife, Larry King was looking for answers, I believe. Larry King, I believe, is searching in his later years for truth. And he had Joel Osteen on five different times. And on three of those times, I watched the interview. And ladies and gentlemen, Larry King said, Joel, in the evangelical community of which you're part of, many of those leaders say that because I'm a Jew and I'm married to a Mormon, that Jews and Mormons will not go to heaven. He says, Joel, what do you say? Joel had a perfect opportunity. There was a wonderful open door for Joel Osteen to witness to the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk about Christ died on the cross. He was buried, shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as you and I. But no, 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 ladies and gentlemen, Joel Osteen did not do that. Joel Osteen had that sheepish laugh, and he kind of looked down and looked back up to Larry, and he said, Larry, I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm going to leave that up to God. I just want people to know that God loves them and that I love them, and I'm going to try to encourage people and lift them up, end quote. That's precisely what Joel Osteen said. Ladies and gentlemen, watch the broadcast. Joel Osteen will hold that Bible high in there and give some diatribe about a pledge to the Bible, place the Bible then over to the side. He never cracks the Bible, never exegetes a verse, never talks about the Bible in context. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, some of the major things that Osteen does, he does not teach the Bible verse by verse. He does not exegete the text. He takes the scripture out of context and makes it say what he wants it to say. He simply has that simple belief in his heart and his mind that you can speak it and receive it. It is the power of positive thinking that comes out of yesteryear of some of the positive thinkers that had great crowds, and yet Joel Osteen calls himself a pastor preacher. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very serious when Larry King asks the question, seeking for an answer, and he does not say, Joel Osteen will not preach against hell. Joel Osteen will not preach against sodomite marriages or sodomite lifestyle. He will not preach against sin. He refuses to call sin, sin. And he goes, I go back to that statement. Well, Larry, I do not judge anyone. I'll leave that judgment to God, end quote. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the theological truth is that Joel Osteen, bless his heart, as some would say, he's never had the privilege, the opportunity, though he's had the opportunity, he's never availed himself to that, of Bible college or seminary. He talks about the fact that he's not a theologian. When interviewed on several occasions and challenged about his less than biblical theological teaching, he said, well, I didn't go to Bible college and I didn't go to seminary. And I don't consider myself a theologian. I just believe God's called me to encourage people. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do? Encourage people and allow them to think that somehow, some way they're okay and allow them to die and go to a devil's hell? I am absolutely shocked and saddened, dismayed by that kind of thinking. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, he does not preach any text in context. He tells you what you want to hear. His message is not the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's simply positive thinking. He teaches, his teaching is simply based on heresy. It is not biblical truth. He will not call sin, sin. Let me just ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. We've got about a minute left. Would you go to a physician that claims to have all of the knowledge about your brain and about the potential of brain surgery? Would you go to that physician and that physician examine you, do an MRI and an X-ray, and there's a giant tumor there, and yet that physician says, I think I don't want to make you sad, or don't want to make you frown, or don't want to make you unhappy, therefore let me just suggest that you do something. Go home, take an aspirin every morning and aspirin every afternoon, and you'll be all right. I just want you to be happy. Don't want you to be dismayed. Don't want you to be in any way disheveled. Don't want you to be concerned. I want you to just take two aspirins a day, and somehow, some way, the serious disease that otherwise would kill you will do so silently, but I'm not going to make you unhappy about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd never go to a physician like that. We would never entertain the possibility of getting in a jumbo 777 jet airplane and flying across the nation with a pilot that's never been trained on how to pilot that plane. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened to see what we're finding with the heresies coming out of the pulpits in America today, destroying the lives and the hearts and the futures of multiplied mega millions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.